Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Remember these words. I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. The dead shall be raised. Death is swallowed in victory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. All of you are familiar with the preparations needed for a trip. A simple trip, like a trip to the grocery store. Easy, but a couple of things, a list, some money, and we go. Some of you may be planning vacations for the summer. Those need a little more planning, don't they? Where are we going? How are we going to get there? How long will we be there? What will we do? Imagine planning a year-long trip to China. That would take a lot of preparation. Passports, transportation, hotels, a guide, perhaps language studies even. I'd like you to think about the ultimate trip that everyone is going to take at the end of their life. The ultimate trip into eternity. What kind of preparation do you think a person needs for a trip like that? You know, every Sunday when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, at the end the pastor says, "Now may this true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and preserve you and keep you in the true faith unto life everlasting." This sermon is a twin to mine last Sunday, Palm Sunday. That one was about God's victory over the dominion of sin. This sermon is about God's victory over the dominion of death. And I want to prepare you for that trip, the trip not only of a lifetime, but of an eternity itself. We're going to do that by remembering, first of all, Jesus' death and his resurrection. And then also God's promise of victory for us over death and the hope of our own resurrection. Let's go back to those last moments of Jesus' life. He was put on trial after being betrayed by his own disciple. All of the rest of the disciples fled and left him. The trial was completely unjust, and that's repeated over and over again in the New Testament. Pilate washes his hands of the whole mess, and it's as though it is out of everyone's control. Jesus is beaten by the soldiers. He has a crown of thorns clamped down upon his head. He's humiliated. He's dressed up like a king with a robe and a staff. He endures a brutal Roman scourging, losing a lot of blood. He's forced to carry his cross to Golgotha, but he can't make it all the way, and someone else has to help him. Finally, he's nailed to the cross, and he hangs there in agony. The space between the breaths gets longer and longer, and the words fewer and fewer. But finally, Jesus says from the cross, "It is finished." And he bows his head, and he gives up his spirit. A Roman soldier takes his pilum, his Roman spear, runs it into his chest, and out flows the sure signs of death, blood and water. Two Jewish Christian men, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus the Pharisee, get permission from Pilate to take the body of Jesus from the soldiers. They put it on some sort of stretcher, and they carried it to a nearby garden where Joseph had a newly hewn tomb in the rocks. And they laid Jesus' body there on a stone slab. According to Jewish customs, they prepared his body for burial with linen cloths and with spices. But this was Friday. It was getting toward evening. And that's the beginning of the Sabbath when no work is to be done. And so their work was cut short. They sealed the tomb with a large stone and went away. But there were other things going on that the disciples nor any of us could see. The Bible says that Jesus gave up his spirit. He said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Peter said he was put to death in the flesh. but he was made alive in the spirit by which he went and preached to the spirits that are in prison. That's where we get the doctrine of Christ's descent into hell. He didn't go there to suffer. He went to the pit of hell for this reason. A long, long time ago, God promised Adam and Eve that the one who brought evil into this world would be crushed. He brought that evil into the world with words, with lies, but he would be crushed with words as well. When Jesus went into that pit of hell and preached the gospel of the resurrection and the victory over death that he had brought into this world. On Sunday, the women came to finish the burial of Jesus. They were in shock, as anyone would be. They were pushed to the edge of unbelief. How could this man who had healed so many people, who had raised people from the dead, who had cast out demons, how could he die and die like this? But they, like all of us, know that sometimes it's just the routines of life that keep us going in difficult circumstances. They wanted to honor Jesus, as confusing as it was, with a proper burial. And so they brought more spices to the tomb, and there, to their amazement and surprise, no body, only the grave clothes and the angels, who said, "Why are you weeping?" And then later, Jesus himself appearing to Mary Magdalene, asking the same question, "Woman, why are you weeping? Go to my brothers and tell them, I must ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God." This is the resurrection. This is God's victory over death. This is the gospel message that God once preached to the whole world, and that the whole world would believe. And for this good reason, this is our victory over death. This is our hope of our resurrection. Last Sunday, we talked about the victory over sin. It was pronounced from the cross when Jesus said, "It is finished." Sin still attacks us, but it does not have dominion over us. We have repentance, we have forgiveness, we have faith, and we can fight back. But when Jesus said, "I am ascending to my Father, to your Father, to my God, to your God," those were the words assuring us of this victory over death. 4 days earlier, on Maundy Thursday, in the upper room, Jesus had taught the disciples, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also." The dominion of death rightfully frightens us, haunts us. Some people try to brush it off with a callous, thin veneer that life is just an accident and death is just a natural necessity. After all, the worms need some food. But that callous, thin veneer hides reality. And the reality is that life is no accident. Life is a miracle, a gift from God, a gift that God has given to you right now. You have that gift. You have it. You hold it in your hands, a gift of life. And death also is a reality, a curse. And both of those, life and death, come from God. That's the reality. Don't brush it off with that kind of foolishness. Some people try to resolve their fear of death with a pious wish. "Now, as long as I'm a pretty nice person, surely God, being a nice guy himself, will reward me with eternal life. And I will probably just casually go right into my eternity." But think about that for a moment. If that were reality, why would God have put his Son through such agony? Why would God have put on Jesus the sins of the whole world? to be destroyed and to be forgiven for all of us if all it meant is that we just have to be nice to go to heaven. We don't have to be nice. We need much more certainty than that. We need holiness. We need righteousness. We need salvation. Some of you have sat beside the beds of those who are dying, as I have many times. And you know that experience of listening to those breaths and the space between them getting longer and longer and wondering, was that the last one? Only to hear one more gasp and one more breath. Life lingers as long as possible. But then finally we come to that last breath and it is over. That person with whom you maybe have talked and joked just a couple of days ago is now gone, and you will never speak to them again here on this earth. You feel so completely helpless. But God is not helpless. God has given the victory over death, and it begins by you remembering He gave you the gift of life once. What's to prevent Him from giving that gift once again? And this is why the proclamation of Paul is so important. I tell you a mystery. Your life right now is a mystery, but Paul's saying, I'm going to tell you another mystery. We shall not all sleep the sleep of death. The dead will be raised. Death is swallowed up, as the prophet Isaiah said, in victory. Paul wrote to the Romans, the 8th chapter, if the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the one who raised Christ will make alive your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. It's been said, and it's really true, Jesus ruined every funeral He ever attended. He ruined the funeral of the 12-year-old daughter of Jairus, who died. A lot of mourning going on that day, but He cut it short, picked her up, let her out. He ruined the funeral of the son of the widow of Nain, who was being carried out on a stretcher to be placed in his grave. He ruined the funeral of Lazarus, who had been in the grave for 4 days. Jesus called him out, and he came out wearing his linen burial cloth. Jesus ruined His own funeral. They couldn't even finish it. It was over. And Jesus will ruin your funeral. And He will ruin my funeral as well. On Palm Sunday, Jesus went to Jerusalem to begin this amazing week. A week of violence and yet a week of spectacular miracles. And He had a few words to say to the people in Jerusalem. He said, recorded by John in the 12th chapter, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it. But he who hates his life in this world will save it for eternal life. If you want to be sure of that final trip into eternity itself, then pray this little prayer with me right now. Dear Jesus, I hate my sinful life in this world. Forgive me. Give me new life by faith now, and not only for this world, but for all eternity. Help me to remember Your words. I ascend to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God, where I am. There you shall be also. Amen. Please rise. Jesus, lead thou on till our rest is won. And although the way be cheerless, we will follow calm and fearless. Guide us by thy hand into our fatherland. Amen.